Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Friday here on WEEI. We've been talking Pats and Dolphins all day long with your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We have Keefe's keys to the Patriots and Dolphins.
Yes.
Comes your way
soon.
Call it 10 minutes or okay. So from now, 15 minutes from now, something like that.
Yep.
We'll get to the grab bag as well, and we'll see what is coming your way on WEEI Afternoons with Arcan and Hart. But we're joined right now on a Patriots Friday by Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. He's brought to you by Rate. Visit S-H-A-N-T, Shant, WEEI.com to learn more. And by McFarlane Energy, a Lennox Premier dealer. Alex Van Pelt, how are we doing this week?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're doing well. We've been discussing some of the struggles of getting the offense going. You guys right now are 31st in scoring, 32nd in passing yards per game. Is that good enough, and how do we get that fixed?
Yeah, obviously not good enough. You know, obviously not good enough at all. We're looking for more production there for sure. You know, trying to find ways to be more explosive in the pass game is an area that we've worked on here the last few weeks. And we need to see that moving forward. We need to find production in the pass game. You know, last week it was a little bit of a challenge with the personnel, with Bosa, you know, and our young tackle. So we had to be, you know, not hold the ball long, and that results in short passes. So that could contribute to that as well. But we got to find ways to push the ball down the field to be more productive and explosive in the pass game for sure.
You know, going back to last week, you guys were moving it on the first possession, picked up a couple of first downs on third down, and you got it to the 49er 41-yard line, and it was third and three, didn't get it, and then you end up punting. Try to draw him offside, then you end up punting. On that third and three, did you already communicate with Mayo at that point that, hey, if we don't get it here, we're going to punt, or were you maybe hoping to go for it on fourth down there?
Yeah, no, that's a decision that gets made upstairs, you know, through Coach Mayo and the guys in charge of the analytics portion of that. Felt like early in the game, you know, on the road, take the punt, try to pin him back and play defense. So, you know, I do get the information when we are going to go for it in those situations, but that was not a situation that we were going to make that decision.
How the hard count is something that we've honed in on. You guys went hard count there on fourth down. That seems like something that certainly worked in the Cincinnati game against the Bengals. Maybe it hasn't worked as well the past couple of games. Do you feel like that's something maybe teams feel more ready for as we've gone into the first month of the year?
Yeah, no, we've used it for sure early in the first few games. We did have a chance there. The three techniques to the left side did lurch across, and we could have reached out and touched them. So we're still growing and learning in those situations. I would like to have seen them have to make a call whether he was in the neutral zone or not. We were going to take the delay and punt it, so we could have gone ahead and reached out there and tried to draw the first down with the free five.
You know, Ramondre Stevenson's fumble issues have obviously been a big topic of conversation this week. Four fumbles in four games, losing fumbles in consecutive games. Last week he sat for a series and then came back in. Is that Coach Mayo telling you, all right, we got to sit this guy down? Is that your decision? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a team decision. Coach Mayo drives that. Obviously, he's the head coach. Fully support it. We can't put the ball on the ground, and Ramondre would be the first one to tell you that. You know, hopefully that's the last time it hits the ground this year. But he understands that he's got the hopes and dreams of the organization in his hands when he's carrying it. And there's, you know, job security. Ball security is job security. So, you know, that's a good player that needs to clean up his mechanics and fundamentals and ball security for sure.
I've always been curious about, you know, especially in-game, obviously no player is trying to fumble. And so when you take him out, sure, like, is that going to be like, now he's not going to fumble because we took him out? I'm not even saying you guys. I'm saying, like, around the league, you see him. Like, how do you then sort of teach not fumbling? Like, I know, it, you know, Tiki Barber and Amon Green were famous guys that fumbled. They changed their whole approach to it, and then they kind of stopped fumbling. But, like, in the middle of a game, in the middle of a season, like, how do you guys really coach no more fumbles?
Yeah, it may not happen in the middle of the game. Obviously, the urgency of not putting the ball down, that's evident. It's the work that we do during the week. You know, you add ball security circuits into your practice to work the fundamentals of ball security, and that's what we're doing moving forward.
Is that something that impacts play calling in any way, like knowing that maybe there's a risk of a player who's put it on the ground more?
No, it can't. It's part of the game. You know, hopefully, like I said before, it stops. But you can't, as a play caller, think that you have an opportunity or a chance you're going to fumble the football.
And we should expect him to have a role on Sunday, Ramondre?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Alex Van Pelt, Patriots offensive coordinator here on Patriots Friday.
You guys have dealt with a ton of injuries, obviously, especially up front. David Andrews, the most recent and maybe the most devastating blow out for the season. Does no David Andrews all year impact the Drake May plan that you guys had going into the season?
No, not at this point. I think we're still, if we have a plan in place, and we're sticking with that right now. David is a huge loss for us, not just for the player, but for the person and the leadership that he brings to that offense. You know, those are big shoes to fill. We're going to have to fill it with multiple people. You know, Nick's done a good job when he came in last week, and, you know, he's been trained in that position, and expect him to step in, next man up mentality. But losing David is a big loss for us offensively.
He's part of the leadership structure in New England, has been for a long time. There was an in-house report from the Patriots that the locker room is teetering on a mutiny. How do you feel about the characterization of that report and the team's locker room?
You know, I stand in front of those guys every day. I don't feel it or see it. Nobody's addressed me with any of those issues. It's like any family. People aren't always happy. My daughters aren't always happy when I spend more time with one than the other. So it's in-house. Obviously, there's frustration. We're all frustrated. And the best way to clear that up is to get a win on Sunday.
So you mentioned the frustration. We've seen some of that. We talked to Devon Godchow on Monday here on Jones and Keefe. He mentioned that some players on that side of the ball maybe have been selfish getting away from the coaching points. We've seen frustrated receivers. Jalen Polk, Pop Douglas apologized to NBC Sports Boston for the way he's kind of carried himself. That's just your run-of-the-mill typical frustration. Guys frustrated with the three straight losses. That is not frustration with play calling, quarterback play, the decision at quarterback. You view it as more run-of-the-mill frustration.
Absolutely. I've been on a million teams, and I've seen it happen when you're not winning. There's people that feel like they need to contribute more to win. That's very common. Don't see it as an alarming. The alarming part is that we need to be more productive in the pass game, regardless of who gets the ball or how we do that. That's to me, is the most important thing.
Is it right now, is the bigger issue Jacoby Brissett not having enough time, or is it Jacoby Brissett not getting the ball out quick enough?
That's an odd question. I think it's a combination. There's times when we call three-step and we're still getting some hits on the quarterback, which we shouldn't. You know, and the last week, the emphasis for us offensively was to get the ball out because of those issues. So it changes week to week, but I don't think it's a Jacoby thing. I think it's all of us together, 11 guys on the field. One guy misses, and it looks worse than it is. So there's good stuff going on, though. I'm really optimistic and happy with where I see this growth and development of this offense. We're doing some good things. You know, that was a tough team on the road, and we fought all the way to the end to the last snap. You know, guys played hard. We're playing the right way. Our play style is where we need it to be. We just have to make plays.
Would you say that it's for the quarterback play, is it trending in the wrong direction, or do you not see it that way?
I don't see it that way.
Okay.
But you're happy with the quickness of Jacoby getting the ball out? Because it did seem like...
Again, this is schematics. When you go up against a team that has pass rusher like Bosa and, you know, a player making his first start at left tackle, you do have to do things to protect him as the player, as the quarterback as well. So some of the play calls were shorter, quicker, get the ball out of your hand type of plays. We helped him as much as we could. I think Bosa had one QB hit and one sack, and that was the last play of the game.
Okay. The one thing that I know you were asked about yesterday in your press conference with the full media is the lack of motion at the snap that you guys involve in your offense right now. There is some motion, identifying things in the defense, creating a leverage to one side of the formation or the other. Is that something you would like to implement more of, motion at the snap?
Yeah, we motion with intent here. So if there's a reason to motion, we'll motion. Oftentimes we do it in the run game to set fronts the way we like them. I'd have to look at the statistics and you tell me the numbers on how often we motion compared to the rest of the league. I don't feel like it's something that we have to do unless we need to do it.
Well, the motion at the snap is low. So when you see other teams doing that, do you feel like that's not motioning with intent? Like the Miami, for instance, that's not motioning with intent?
Yeah, that's the way they run their system. They're a fast motion team out of bunches into bunches and things like that. We do have that. It's just when do we decide we need to use that to help us to get an advantage.
Now, you talked a lot about the San Francisco defense and going up against a guy like Bosa. What kind of challenge does the Miami defense present on Sunday?
Yeah, they're stingy. This is a defense, obviously, have a lot of experience going against the style of defense, with the defensive coordinator coming from Baltimore. They have a very good blitz package. They're very active with their linebackers. Obviously, they have an elite corner on the edge. It's an all-pro player. They present a lot of challenges for you. Again, they're very pressure-oriented, first and second down especially. You're going to get almost 50% pressure on those snaps. So we have to be in tune with that and be able to block up their pressure looks.
Okay, he is Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. Patriots and Dolphins on Sunday in Foxborough. Alex, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you down the line this season.
Great. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
All right, thank you.
Alex Van Pelt, as all our guests, joins us here on WEEI.
That's an odd question.
I'm full of odd questions, man. I'm an odd ball.
It's an odd question, I guess, there.
Line or quarterback? Where the hell did you come up with that?
Didn't Doug Peterson, he kind of channeled his inner Doug Peterson there. Doug Peterson was critiquing odd questions earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I was efforting to get these numbers mid-interview there.
He is a little salty.
Well,
they don't motion at the snap. They're dead last
in
that.
8% motion at the snap, 32nd in the NFL. They
overall are motion, though,
52nd in terms of overall motion.
52%.
What did I say? 52%.
Yeah, yeah. Not 52. I think that 52%. Puts them more like in the 20s. Like it's up. Like they technically motion more than most, but
I just
motion at the snap. And there was actually, this is like really nerdy. I don't always like to do this, but like this is kind of dorky. But the Daniel Jeremiah had a podcast with Luke Kuechly, and they were talking about like what kind of challenge that presents on defenses. And he's saying how you have a guy like Deebo Samuel running full speed. And you're like, where is he going? Like, at the snap, you're like, are they going to hand it to him? Are they not going to hand it to him? And, like, it causes so many problems for the defense.
Let me give you an example. Yeah. Did you watch Thursday Night Football last night?
I did.
You saw Mike Evans' first touchdown?
Yeah.
You see what they did with Bucky Irving?
Yes.
That's motion at the snap. Bucky Irving runs across the formation.
Uh-huh.
The corner who's on Mike Evans, whoever it was on Atlanta, was confused. He's pointing into the backfield. He doesn't know what's going on. Mike Evans is wide open in the end zone. That is motion at the snap. The Patriots are dead last in it. I saw the answer that Kuechly had.
Yeah, that was good.
And I found that to be interesting.
Because a lot of regular motion, and this is like what high school teams would do, it's like you motion and you're like, man or zone.
Yeah.
Man or zone. But teams disguise it defensively now, and like that's not really why teams are motioning. It has gone way up over the number of years, especially the motion at the snap. They say the league average now, this is super nerdy, but it's like 22%, right? 5 years ago or 7 years ago, it was 4%. Like, nobody was really doing it.
It's spiking.
And now, you see college teams doing it.
It's spiking elsewhere.
Not here.
No, they motion with intent here, Keith.
Yeah.
Teams like Miami, and maybe it's a bad example because their offense is so down right now without Tua. Teams like the 49ers, they motion without intent. There's no intent when they motion. Here
just
we motion,
guys running around.
We motion with intent.
We motion with intent to draw them off sides.
Motioning.
Hut, hut, hut.
Motioning without intent is like my Friday night.
That's so basically, I read that?
Yeah,
no, I understand. Yeah, it's good. I would say he's blaming the offensive line for the issues.
That's a weird question, though.
That's an odd question.
It's an odd question, Rich.
That's not that insulting to me, sir. Like, I've been told a lot worse. So he basically called, when you are asking him about the hard counts, which I've seen enough hard counts.
Yeah.
But he was saying, Well, they actually were in the neutral zone. We could have like flashed
our
hands.
That's true. I got to go back and watch that. There was a guy, the guy jumped. I didn't see any movement.
They were like statues.
Everything was like.
He said that? I'll take your word for it, but I don't remember that, man.
But so he's blaming the O-line for not being aware enough to like put their hand out and like get the penalty. But then also he's saying how, well, Nick Bosa is good. And so it was all like, it was all quick pass game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, but even then, I feel like Brissett and more advanced stats are even telling you they're like compared to other quarterbacks around the league, he has a little bit more time than you think. Whether it's a 3-step, 5-step, 7-step, shotgun, whatever it is, he's got a little bit. But he is in lockstep with Jacoby Brissett, which also goes back to our previous point that one of the guys standing in the way of us seeing Drake May is the man we just spoke with, Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
He is very pro Jacoby Brissett.
Look,
he also doesn't think that the 49er game was his worst game. That's insane.
That's kind of wild.
That's an insane take.
Yeah, they're getting better. Because
you could just be like,
Nick,
hey,
Bosa only sacked him once. Oh,
yeah. And he still sucked.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Imagine if he sacked him five times.
Yeah.
He threw a pick six.
Yeah.
No, but this was even the, like, Curran and some of the others that were like, he's doing a hero's work, right? Yeah. Like, Jacoby Brissett is a miracle worker.
Miracle worker.
Everybody said he sucked after week four. Alex Van Pelt's like, no. Everything's heading in the right direction.
No, I think it's pretty good.
I had to double check the old box scores when he was like, things are actually like looking up.
Yeah, they're trending in the right
direction. Did you see the last two games, sir? It was insane. Did you see the last two games, what you've been able to do or not do on offense? They scored one gift touchdown because they had a short field. They can't move the ball at all. Brissett is not getting it done. He threw more touchdowns to the other team.
He did.
Insane.
I do like this. Christopher in the Twitch chat says he's pro Kobe.
Jacoby,
he's pro Kobe. Pro Kobe.
Oh, pro Kobe.
Not Jacoby, pro Kobe.
Pro Kobe, yeah.
That makes sense?
No, he is. So we're going to see this guy to the end of time.
It's not as snappy as your word game there?
No.
Turn of phrase.
No, that's all right.
Okay. Now, what do we do, Keith? Do we have enough time to jam in the keys? I want to jam in the keys.
We can jam in keys.
You want to jam in the keys?
Jam in keys.
All right, let's jam in the keys.
Rich Keith, what is going to be a couple of keys?
And now, what are your two keys tonight?
Keith presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, four of them come correct. And you're like, see, I told you.
Keith's keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keith's keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston Radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keith's keys.
It's Keith's keys.
Doctor, it's time for Keith's Keys, and if you just heard Alex Van Pelt, you might want to bet the house on the Patriots. You got to feel pretty good about the Pats. All right, here we go. The Patriots are 1-3. They are taking on the Miami Dolphins, who are 1-3. Patriots are 1-point favorites with a total of 36.5. That's a low number. That's a low number.
Sounds
which
high
makes
for
sense.
These offenses.
Two worst offenses in the league. Let's get to the keys. Bad news for the Patriots offensive line and tacklers on the defensive side of the ball, as Dolphins are fast, aggressive, and slippery creatures. Good luck. Dolphins are known for killing sharks by ramming their bottle noses into their gills. Don't threaten me with a good time. The largest dolphin in the world is the orca. Yes, the killer whale. The name killer whale derives from their original name, whale killers, given to them by sailors who saw them hunting whales. Over time, the name eventually switched around.
Orca or dolphins?
While held captive, dolphins are known for developing flaccid dorsal fins.
Oh, no.
They should call Northeast Men's Health. Finkel was Einhorn. Einhorn was Finkel.
What a sports nut.
Former Dolphins offensive tackle Anthony Alibi isn't just the ultimate jock. He's also now acted in over 50 movies, shows, and video games. You might remember him as Street Tough in Ryan Gosling's Stole My Best Friend, Moz McClellan in Game On, a comedy crossover event, and Bobby in DILF Diaries.
I have DILF Diaries sitting on the DVR. I haven't watched that yet.
You should watch it. Anthony's in that. He's very good.
Good.
Merino translates to marine or of the sea. Coincidence?
I mean, who knew?
The bottlenose dolphin typically reaches speeds of up to 22 miles per hour. That number is slower than the cheetah, Tyreek Hill, who has topped out at 23.24 miles per hour, both slower than an actual cheetah.
I wouldn't mind watching that race.
Echo the Dolphin was a video game for the Sega CD, and you played as a dolphin named Echo.
I'm convinced there were no levels. I don't think there was anything to beat in that
Just
game.
Just kind of swam around.
Yeah, I didn't really
went
understand
for a
it.
Nice dip.
Yeah.
Amazon Pink River Dolphins are a mistake by God. You ever see one of these creatures?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
It's a glitch in the system.
Despite just 10 career starts and 8 career touchdown passes, Tyler Snoop Huntley has more Pro Bowls than Julian Edelman.
Hall of Famer.
Snoop?
Yeah, well, I'm just probably saying, people want Edelman in there.
Dolphins have an amazing 300-degree panoramic vision where they can see forwards, backwards, and side to side, but they can't see up. I'd suggest the Patriots use this to their advantage and pass the ball, but I'm not sure they can.
It's kind of an odd question there, Keith.
The game is also known as the Robert Edwards Bowl. The running back only played for 2 teams in his career, the Patriots and the Dolphins, and he just celebrated his 50th birthday on October 2nd. So happy half-century, Robert Edwards.
Flag football is a dangerous game.
Dolphins are among a small group of species that have intercourse for pleasure, including bonobos, fruit bats, and me, Rich Keefe.
What's a bonobo?
Dolphins' diet is made up primarily of fish and squid, like me, Rich Keefe. Dolphins sleep with one eye open, like me, Rich Keefe. Mike McDaniel is 3-1 all-time versus the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
Under Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins are 11-3 when they do not turn it over and 10-16 when they do.
Wow. Got to hold on to the football.
Pats don't have to face Tua Tagovailoa on Sunday, which is a good thing for them because Tua is 6-0 in his career versus New England. Dolphins have 2 stomachs. Patriots fans will need 2 stomachs to get through this season. And neither team has a Derek on the main roster. But the Dolphins could end the Derek-less streak if they activate linebacker Derek McClendon off the practice squad.
Wow.
They got a practice squad Derek.
So keep an eye on the inactives on Sunday.
There might be some roster moves next 48 hours.
Save your bets.
Yep.
To see who has the Derek advantage on Sunday.
Add it all up.
Yeah.
Pats -1. You make the call.
A flaccid dorsal fin.
Yeah.
They hate to see that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many side effects of being...
Low-T Dolphins?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Low-T Dolphin, exactly. Yeah. Get the syringe ready for those guys. So there you go. That is Keefe's Keys. Each and every week here on Jones and Keefe. All of the information you need on Patriots and Dolphins, do with that what you will when you're going to, place a bet this Sunday or just for entertainment purposes,
That's right, of course.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
time for Grab Bag here on a Patriots Friday. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's the final half hour of the program. So the stuff we didn't get a chance to get to, we do in the Grab Bag, including a nice little baseball game last night, if you're interested. The final wild card game was game three between the Brewers and the Mets. Pete Alonso socking a big game-winning dinger, and the Mets advance 4-2 over Milwaukee.
This guy the Red Sox were linked to at the trade deadline. They said, we don't need that guy.
We don't need big Pete Alonso.
Now the Polar Bears smacking, rather. Not
what?
Snogging.
Snogging. Ooh, he's snogging?
Yeah, he's hitting go-ahead dingers there in the postseason.
Not bad.
Wise man say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for
grab bag.
Four divisional series games tomorrow. Tigers, Guardians, the early game, and then Mets, Phillies, Royals, Yankees, Padres, Dodgers. So let's just do a quick who wins the series, Tigers or Guardians?
I'm sticking Tigers.
Me too.
Ride with the Tigers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ride with them.
Mets and Phillies.
Phillies.
Phillies. Dave Dombrowski, Bryce Harper, October Harper.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I think they're going to win the whole thing.
You got the Phillies winning it all?
Not to spoil that.
Well, yeah. Forget it.
Yeah, forget the rest of graphic.
Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Royals, Yankees?
I'll go Yankees on that one.
Garrett Cole, Michael Wacha in game one.
Yeah, I don't like Garrett Cole, but I think the Yankees win that series.
And then Dodgers, Padres.
I'm going to go. Give me Padres in that one.
I like
Padres
it.
Padres have been hot. Give me the Padres.
Yamamoto, Dylan Cease. The matchup. Kind of a nice, juicy matchup. I want to take a Tigers-Dodgers World Series.
Ooh.
That's what I said after going into the playoffs. I'm
sticking with the Yankees Phillies. That's what I said.
Okay, very good. It's all still very much in play.
Something's got to give.
You've been hit by a smooth grab bag.
Celtics Nuggets opening up the preseason in Abu Dhabi. They're currently in the third quarter. Celtics trail by 9. Four of their starters were playing in this game, which is to be expected. I mean, you travel halfway around the world. It's a showcase game.
I would imagine you're playing some of your guys. Yeah.
But it looks like everybody is in. I even saw Jokic running up and down at one point. Who knows? I haven't logged the minutes on it, but they were all out there. Tatum, Brown, White, Holiday.
He probably loves the UAE. I watched the Anthony Bourdain episode a long time ago where he was there. I think he was in Dubai, not Abu Dhabi, but the horses there. Jokic loves his horses. Mm-hmm. So he probably enjoys being there. But how are the Celtics doing?
I told you they're down 9.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. No, I led with the score.
I was busy thinking about what to say about Anthony Bourdain.
I understand.
Yes. Yeah.
Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your
grab bags.
Wearing this. Wearing only this.
Only that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruins and Kings last night. You got a little peek into the life of what it might be like without Jeremy Swayman as Corpusalo blows.
Yeah.
Corpusablos.
Wow, Keith, you should be in charge.
Dude,
of these.
We were all around it today.
Yeah,
it's Corpusablos. But I also, what did I say? Done with Swayman? No, can't stand Swayman. What was my thing with Swayman?
Sick of sway. Hashtag sick of sway. And you are
sick of sway.
Something with bussy.
Oh, bussy or bust.
Bussy,
which goes back to Corpusablos.
Corpusablos is pretty good.
Yeah, there's a lot.
You are my sunshine, my only
grab bag.
It was you and I who were Porcelblo, right? That was you?
Rick Porcelblo. Cy Young. I think right after that.
He's still kind of.
Porcelblo,
though.
He's not a great player. Telling you. Yeah. Caitlin Clark. Now, careful talking about Caitlin Clark.
Careful. Yeah.
She was
a lot of honkies in here.
She was the WNBA Rookie of the Year. Did not win it unanimously.
Yeah.
67 voters for the prestigious award.
Who got the other vote, though?
Angel Reese.
Yeah.
The Bayou Barbie.
I don't think that's going to help. That's not going to help people being calm about this.
She set the rebounds record until she didn't. She had it for like a week. It was like being like
the rookie rebound record.
It was like winning the title on a pay-per-view on Sunday, then losing it on Monday Night Raw. That's what happened to the Bayou Barbie.
I mean, they're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from
grab bag.
Terry Francona coming back to manage. This surprised me.
Very surprising.
Cincinnati Reds.
That's the other thing that's surprising. It's like, number one, he's managing again. Shocking.
Yeah.
Number two, the Reds.
The Reds?
That's the best you got.
I mean, Ellie De La Cruz. A lot of swipes.
I mean, look.
You like a swipe guy?
I would have assumed. I do. I love it.
Yeah.
But I would have assumed Francona's more than qualified for like the Dodgers if they open. Well, he's just taking the Reds job.
Just taking the Reds
job. Loves being in Ohio. He's in Cleveland. Moves to the other side. A lot of
Guardians fans now are like, how dare you?
Does dad play for the Reds? Is that what the connection
probably,
is?
Probably, yeah. Like yeah. Yeah, actually, that sounds right.
For the Reds.
He also played for the Reds? Oh, okay.
Did he?
I think so.
Tito.
All right. He thinks so.
Well, Billy and I looked it up this morning. Billy just told me he played there for a season.
Counts. Definitely. Counts. Oh, I mean, that definitely counts.
That definitely,
oh,
absolutely sure. Counts, yeah.
Honey, where's my
grab bag?
What?
Where is my
grab bag?
College football Saturday. Actually, you know what? Before I get to the college football Saturday slate, how about tonight? Number 25, UNLV, playing in their first game.
Not the game I was thinking of.
No.
Without Sluka.
Sluka.
Yeah.
Sluka left because he was promised $100,000. He received $3,000.
Superfly Sluka.
Yep. So he's a better guy, though.
Yeah, no, I think so, yeah.
But they're 4-0, ranked number 25 in the country. They are hosting Syracuse tonight at 9 o'clock. But first game without their quarterback, so interesting.
I was going to – the only thing I was really thinking about plunking down on in that game was the Syracuse total. I meant to look that up earlier today, but I'll take the over on the Q's total there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't have that off the top of my head.
I was starting to fish around on that.
Boston College UVA tomorrow.
Tommy Touchdowns.
Tommy Touchdowns is playing.
He's back out there.
That's sweet, sweet relief.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's
– grab bag?
Malik Nabers. Rookie of the Year candidate ruled out for the Giants on Sunday.
Yeah, that's it was a concussion at the end of the Thursday night game, yeah. And he had 10 days to get ready for the game, and he's still not practicing. That's a scary one.
Yeah.
Grab bag.
Speaking of Thursday night football, you had a shootout in the NFC South last night. Your Falcons topped my Bucks in overtime, 36-30. Both guys spinning it. As many have pointed out, Kirk Cousins, more passing yards last night than Jacoby Brissett has in four games. Don't listen to those stats, though. Alex Van Pelt would have you know that it's trending up.
Alex Van Pelt would never want to hear any of that.
Things are looking pretty good, but Mayfield and Cousins threw more touchdowns in the game than Brissett has all season.
Yeah, if you missed any Alex Van Pelt in his defense of his offense, it's on the Odyssey app. By the way, he threw for 500 yards last night. Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Three quarterbacks have thrown for more than 500 yards multiple times in a game. Any guesses?
Marcus Tuiasosopo.
Nope. Tom Brady, twice.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Drew Brees, twice. Patrick Mahomes, I don't believe, ever has, believe it or not. One quarterback has done it four times?
Wait, a quarterback's done it for 500 yards four times
is the record. One quarterback's done it. It's not Brady. It's not Brees.
Chad Henne?
No.
It's a scrub or a good player?
No, good player.
Oh. Peyton Manning?
No. Roethlisberger.
Oh.
Roethlisberger has four 500-yard games.
Yeah, at one point, the Steelers flipped. That was probably most of it to Antonio Brown.
And yeah,
I bet it was like an Antonio Brown season.
09, 14, 17, 21. So like 09, that was way before Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but 14, what did you say, 14, 16, 17?
14, 17, 21.
Oh, so not 21, but 14 and 17.
500-yard passing games is wild.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
They're letting them, Big Ben, sling it.
Yeah, back when Norm Van Brocklin was the first to do it, they never saw it coming.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. This is my
grab bag.
All right, Jones, you know what it's time for? I said, do you know what it's time for?
What's that?
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
That's right. It's random baseball player of the day during grab bag, where I come up with a player from days gone by, and then Jones, Billy, and Nick try to guess said player. You can also play along at home. And today, with the Milwaukee Brewers being eliminated from the playoffs last night, I thought I'd go with a famous brewer. This gentleman played from 1994 to 2007, 8 years with the Brewers.
Gary Sheffield.
Not Gary Sheffield.
Richie Sexton.
Nope.
Wow, good one.
Also played
Craig
with
Council.
Nice. Colorado, Seattle, Arizona, Minnesota, and San Diego. But again, 8 years in Milwaukee.
Rich Cirillo.
Who?
Rich Cirillo.
Close.
Am I?
That's not a guy. But
is it not?
No.
Somebody Cirillo? Jeff Cirillo.
Yes, it is. Jeff Cirillo.
Wow.
Excellent.
Paul Perillo. What did I have for it?
Eduardo Alfonso, you were like Edgar Alphonse.
Yeah, something's wrong. I'm like right around it,
you're
but
there.
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Jeff Cirillo.
Jeff Cirillo.
Two-time All-Star, 97 and 2000, played the hot corner for the Brew Crew.
Yeah.
Topped out at 17 dongs.
I feel like he'd gap you a double, though.
Oh, and he'd hit you a nice average.
Yeah.
296 career.
Wow.
296 career
That's
average.
That's a player.
Yeah, he was nice.
Ichiro.
He was a really useful player. Yeah, he would hit.
Oh, my God. 53 doubles in two. I was in Colorado.
Yeah, he doesn't count.
He was gapping doubles like crazy there. That's like 20 everywhere.
Yeah.
Else. Yeah.
No, he was real good. 115 RBI in Colorado.
Yeah.
Like, please.
Pre-humidor.
Like, sir. He would like top out at 80.
He still only had 11. His home runs actually went down the year he was in Colorado. He went from 15 down to 11, back up to 7. Oh, that was also in Colorado.
That's a guy who did it the right way.
Yep.
That's a guy who played it the right way.
The clean way.
All right, and then let's see, one more thing here.
Well, hello, Mr.
Grab Bag.
Horror movie of the day. It is October, or Dorktober, for those who celebrate. I've been taking some heat on the horror movie selections thus far.
Such a shame.
I know. I'm going with ones I like.
Were people complaining about The Conjuring yesterday?
No, people were like, oh, finally a good one. I was like, I don't know. I want some maybe they haven't seen or whatever. But I'm going with 2005's The Devil's Rejects. You could stream it on Peacock. It's the sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses.
This I've seen. This is Rob Zombie.
Yes, Rob Zombie directed it.
This I've seen.
Haverhill's own Rob Zombie. And you don't need to see House of a Thousand Corpses. You can, but this is one that very much is also like a standalone. It's much more real life than Corpses is. You got three kind of psychos on the run from the law. Love it. Love this movie. One of my favorites. Great soundtrack. Great stuff. A little gory. You know, you got to be careful for that.
It's gory for sure.
Head on a swivel.
He's from Haverhill.
Yeah, he hates Haverhill.
Yeah, he's
from Haverhill, hates it.
Wow.
Yeah, he didn't have a great time growing up. He can't stand it. He's done like a few interviews talking about it. He cannot stand Haverhill.
Carlos Pena from Haverhill probably loves it.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I ever got that interview with him, maybe he could have told me.
Rob's brother Spider, who's the lead singer of Power Man 5000, also a Haverhill guy. So there you go. The Haverhill Hall of Fame. We have one more for the big four.
Yeah, Haverhill Mount Rushmore.
Who's your Haverhill Mount Rushmore?
Carlos Pena.
Zombie Spider, Carlos Pena. Open spot. Somebody can call in. Make
TBD.
A case.
Yeah, TBD. Make your case for the Haverhill Mount Rushmore.
All right, okay. There you go. That's it for today.
Nice work every day.
It's Grab Bag. It's Grab Bag.
It's my
Grab Bag.
My
Grab Bag.
It's every day here on Jones and Keefe. Now, people very much like your keys there, Keefe.
Yeah.
Both the keys to the game, but also your keys on the ring there, if you're
physical,
watching.
The physical keys.
Twitch.tv/BostonWEE.
TV host Tom Bergeron, Haverhill.
Wow.
Oh, we just closed it then. Go ahead and start chiseling that rock up there. Mount Rushmore of Haverhill is set.
Okay.
Tom Bergeron? No way.
How about that? How's about
wow.
that?
Wow.
Okay.
That's you got a nice town up there, guys. You from Haverhill?
Noah Vonleh.
Oh, Noah Vonleh. Dude, Noah Vonleh.
First round pick?
Yeah, then he went to
Indiana?
New Hampton.
Oh, where'd he go? Oh, I don't know.
I think he prepped at New Hampton. Haverhill, New Hampton, first round bust.
Yeah.
Lottery bust.
Yeah. Big time.
Noah Vonleh, though.
I think he's not getting paid in China right now.
Yeah.
Can we just show poll quick? Tom Bergeron or Noah Vonleh? Who's the fourth on the Haverhill Mount Rushmore?
Tom Bergeron.
We could just.
I kind of like Vonleh.
Real quick answer.
A lot of upside still in Vonleh.
Let's.
Have you ever heard of Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah,
look, you're right. It's a very popular show.
Can we
Hollywood Squares, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, for sure, Hollywood Squares. Let's settle the debate, shall we? Arcand and Hart can settle that. Who's the fourth on the Haverhill Mount Rushmore? We'll check in with them next. Keeping an eye on the Haverhill Mount Rushmore. A couple more suggestions.
Yeah, well, what do the people like?
Who'd you have on there so far?
It would be Rob Zombie, Spider Zombie, Carlos Pena. And Tom Bergeron, although he's getting some pretty good competition from Noah Vonleh.
Yeah, Noah Vonleh was on there. Mike Ryan was a catcher on the 67 Red Sox. That's a Haverhill guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being told by the text line.
He's close. Honorable mention.
Multiple entries for Matt Noyes, the weatherman.
Throw him on the list.
It's from Haverhill.
He'll tell you if it's cloudy.
How many options can we have in a Twitter poll here to
four
to settle that? Is that what we talk about at four?
Well, three of them are in. The Zombie Brothers and
there's only one
Pena.
Spot. We're not taking down Spider.
No.
Carlos Payne is not moving off that Mount Rushmore. He's already chiseled.
Correct.
Last one is up for grabs. It's the tail end of the week here on Jones and Keefe. End of the program today. WEEI Afternoons comes your way with Arcan and Hart. It's the crossover, and it's brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines for the new $14.99 Big Deal Meals every Monday through Wednesday. Four new hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99, like the roast turkey dinner. You gotta love the Nines. What's up, Arcan?
That's an odd question, Jones.
What?
What's up?
It an odd question?
Odd question.
Why is that? Oh.
It's a callback, Jones, from an interview we did less than an hour ago.
I'm already checked out.
That's an odd question.
That is
Thank you, Nick.
That is an odd question.
Did you think, Arcan, that at any point it was an odd question?
I didn't. I thought it was a perfectly reasonable question, and I thought it was odd that he said odd question.
I have asked odd questions. Don't get me wrong. I have asked odd questions often, but that wasn't one of them.
No.
That was pretty straightforward. For those that missed it, I asked Alex Van Pelt if right now, because you can't ignore the numbers, they're dead last in passing offense. So, is the passing offense more of a Brissett doesn't have time to throw it,
right,
or he's just not getting the ball out quick enough? That would, right?
Yeah, those are
basically O-line or quarterback. Yeah. What an odd question.
Something's off.
Like, is it?
Your quarterback's getting murdered back there. Is it his fault for holding onto the ball too long or the line can't protect him?
Odd question.
In real time, I almost thought he said good question because he said it quickly, and I thought it was kind of a good question. And then he was like, no, he played it again.
So, That's an odd question.
Odd question.
I'll tell you.
It's an odd question.
My first question maybe was a little aggressive. I'm like, the offense sucks. Why?
And
like,
no, in all seriousness, your first question was you rank 32nd in passing, 31st in offense. Is that good enough?
Yeah. Is it good enough? How do you fix it?
Where do you? So, no. And he
was a little aggressive, but he played ball.
But he wasn't really angry. He's like, obviously, it's not good enough.
But then after that, we're like, you know, kind of playing nicey-nice with this crummy offense.
Yeah, we're having a great time.
And then he said that's an odd question. We both kind of turned the guns around after that. We both kind of were like, hang on.
Like, sir, please.
Not like they're tense down there this week or anything.
Okay, so you guys talked about the mutiny yesterday, right? Did this come out during your show?
Hardly at all. I mean, it really, it was towards the end that,
you asked
that
it
came
about
out.
It, right?
We did ask Curran about but the whole thing about it getting scrubbed and all that, I didn't realize until the show was over.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely going to be a big part of it today, because now I think that's bigger than the story. I think that him saying that, Lazar saying that, was something that would have blown over probably 100%. Today, or you know, certainly by the end of the weekend. Now, if they lose this game, if they lose to Miami,
teetering.
This mutiny thing is going to be all over the place next week.
That's crazy. I'm watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEI. You look like an 80s music video.
Oh, that's incredible. Put they get the screen behind Arkan so then it just goes forever. Put the camera on Arkan. It just goes forever and ever and ever. It's like Arkan's watching Arkan is watching Arkan. That's amazing.
It'd be funny if I had a shirt with that same picture.
Yeah.
You look like a Talking Heads video or something.
That's amazing.
The Twitch
Psycho Killer.
They're calling it Arcanception is what they're calling it now.
That's pretty amazing.
On the Twitch show. That's a wild thing.
Just another reason to watch.
Right here.
Yeah, we're staring deep into your soul. That's wild. So what obviously you're talking about the mutiny on the booty as
a lot of mutiny talk today. We'll ask the question why the Patriots are still even favored in this game. We have This Week in Social Media, #Twism, and we'll have our big Dolphin Scouting Report as well later on in the show.
Okay.
So you can expect all that today.
Squish those fish.
Do they win on Sunday?
No.
Yeah, I say no. We never even really did a prediction. I say no. Billy's saying yes. Billy's got him
Billy's got him in the survivor
pool. Nick, are they winning?
I'm going to go with a tie.
Okay, good. You know what? Nice. Good prediction is that.
Somebody's right.
Tie.
Somebody is right.
I think they lose like a gross like 14-13 type of game.
Well, just answer my question. I was going to say, do they score an offensive touchdown?
Yes. Yeah, I got a gimme touchdown. Antonio Gibson's going to score the one touchdown.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah,
I'm not sure they do.
Right.
But okay, that's where we're at. Full-blown mutiny. Arkan and Hart have you covered here on WEEI Afternoons. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll check in on a Patriots Monday, where I assume things will be going well. That comes your way at 10 o'clock on Monday on WEEI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.